Hi there. This is a CPD in 140 podcast on EduTalk Radio, and I'm Ian Guest. I'm currently engaged in doctoral research looking at teacher professional learning supported through Twitter. If you're interested and would like to know more, head over to my research blog at cpdin140.wordpress.com. One of the methods I'm using is semi-structured interviews. And if participants give their permission, I'll post our resulting chat here on EduTalk. If you're interested in being involved, I'd be delighted to hear from you. Just drop me a tweet or a DM at Ian in Sheffield on Twitter. Robert Jones, a senior leader in a Scottish secondary school and at Jonesy Boy on Twitter, was kind enough to agree to appearing today. Unfortunately, the audio recording during the first few minutes was breaking up badly, and we had to switch to an alternative, which resulted in the recording of Robert's channel becoming rather tinny. However, I don't think you'll have any problems hearing his responses. So without further ado, let's listen to Robert's experiences of using Twitter.
Technical difficulties, never mind.
Could have been my end.
Not to worry, it's not a problem. Okay, we were talking about the kind of things that you do on Twitter, and the last thing that I heard, you just started to talk about school improvements. So if you could just pick that up and just mention what you were discussing there, that'd be helpful.
So I suppose it's a place to kind of find out about the latest ideas and to kind of discuss things with people. You know that there are people that I kind of admire and trust who are on there, and people like Tom Sherrington, amongst many, many others, just to kind of name one, who George Gilchrist has got them with, whom it's just really interesting to see what they're up to and to kind of be engaging with them.
A different perspective from colleagues around the place, yeah. You mentioned England and trying to filter out the English stuff because Scottish material's clearly more significant to you. But do you still benefit from that sort of more global perspective? Does that help at all?
Absolutely. It's I think that we were talking about this just this afternoon, actually. I was talking with my head teacher because her deputy's moved on and she's looking to appoint somebody new. And we were talking about what various people's strengths are. And some folk in my position are very highly focused upon Scottish educational policy and what comes out from the Scottish Government of Education Scotland, and that is the kind of bible for what they're up to, which is perfectly reasonable.
Absolutely.
Whereas I wouldn't want to say on record that I pay no attention to this stuff because it's really important and it shapes the direction we move in. But I am as influenced and as interested in kind of global things, global conversation about education, and also what's coming directly from educational research, because there are some very good people feeding what's coming out of educational research onto Twitter, and with these things one always has to be careful, but that perspective is really, really a big thing.
Can you say a little bit more about that? With these things, you have to be a little bit careful. What were you inferring?
There's obviously in the world of educational research, at its most kind of formal academic university level, there's little enough consensus about what makes a difference and a positive difference. I think it's a social science, and it's sort of grasping, struggling towards any kind of consensus about things, and that's at the most kind of academic formal level. So on Twitter, where anyone can just say anything they want, people will tend to grab hold of whatever thing happens to have worked declare that to be the latest, greatest thing. So, yeah, you just got to take everything with a pinch of salt.
That makes a lot of sense. I can see that. Can we just go back to a couple of weeks ago, which is what really brought you to my attention in terms of what you seem to be doing at school, and you tweeted out a shout-out for the fact that you were about to do a session with your staff, and were there any things that people could tell you about what the benefits were for them of using Twitter? Can you say a little bit more about that and what happened there, what you were trying to achieve?
Well, this is we've started a series of Twilight CLPL, career-long professional learning sessions in the school, and as well as being something that I think is a really nice way to deliver. It's a voluntary thing, and people are just offering to share something or to teach people about something, and a teacher's leading this. So it's a leadership opportunity for a teacher to lead this whole program, which is another bonus to it. And I volunteered, since I'd encouraged him to take on this leadership opportunity, I thought I'd better volunteer to run something. So I said I would do something about being a connected teacher, the power of Twitter. Now, actually, as it turned out, only four people signed up to do it, and one of them had to go in to do something. So it was a small crowd, but the response I got to that request was immense. I was just absolutely flabbergasted, really, and that was undoubtedly very powerful for the people who were in the room, and I'll keep that in my back pocket and use at future events, because I've not given up on the rest of the staff getting involved with Twitter. Yeah, because that's, there's something like 8,000 views for that tweet in the end, which for us, I'm not a sort of a big high status Twitter person, so that's pretty good. I'm very pleased with that, really. And the huge stream of responses was just said more than I ever could, really, about the power of Twitter.
Indeed, I think you got about 60-ish responses in the end, and it was very useful for me to look through those replies and see the kinds of things that people were saying, the kind of benefits that they got from it. So although it may not have had a large impact at the moment for you, for your staff, it's something that you, as you said, keep in your back pocket and can take forward. Do you think that it is something that is applicable to all staff, to everyone in a school?
Well, I think a couple of people have touched on this in the responses, but it isn't a classic sort of failed attempt to engage with Twitter seems to me to go like you sign up because people said it's amazing. You follow 20 people. You post something like, anyone got a good lesson on quadratic equations? Nobody replies, and you say Twitter's rubbish. Twitter is a community. It's a community that's building a professional learning network, and just like any other such thing, you have to put in time and energy to building up relationships, and if you don't do that, then you won't get out of it. But I got out of it. So I can't. And that's kind of up to individuals to decide whether or not they're willing or will enjoy putting in that time and effort. But if they do, I think it's pretty clear that if you do put in that time, then you get a huge amount out of it.
So would you say that some people are more predisposed to the likelihood of them being successful because of the way their sort of general disposition? Or is it? Do you think it's something that people could learn, or if they were prepared to give up the time?
Again, this is very hard for me to really know. And I talked about this with the folk, the select crowd that came along to my session, that I have no idea what it will be like to sit there with a fresh Twitter account and a list of people maybe to follow, and having to type that first tweet. I have no experience of that, and so it's difficult for me to really know. Looking at the kind of profile of people on Twitter, there are still lots and lots of people signing up fresh to Twitter and getting engaged and fairly quickly getting involved, so it's definitely possible. I think somebody put it quite nicely in the replies, that they said that it's you kind of have to enjoy it. You kind of have to enjoy dipping in and having a bit of a conversation, realizing that you've probably missed loads of stuff, particularly once you're following a number of people. And that kind of strange thing that you know there's a load of tweets you've never looked at, you just, And I don't know what kind of person, I've never really thought about that, to be honest, what kind of person, what kind of attributes you'd have to have to, for that to kind of work for you.
Well, let's bring it back home then. How would you describe a typical Twitter session for you, if there indeed is even such a thing? How do you access it? So for me, I'm usually in the living room with a tablet. How is it for you?
Yeah, so I'd either be kind of exactly on a tablet in the living room, or on a tablet or a phone in the living room. So relaxing after dinner, you know, possibly some music playing, and just kind of casually having a look, you know, probably whilst doing something else, you know, and then something will either catch my attention because it's interesting, you know, you'll see that David Diddow's written another post, and so you think, oh, okay, that's interesting, that's probably worth a read, you know, or that's probably one extreme, you know, one of these edgy Twitterati, as people say, or just somebody that I know from way back, you know, Neil Winton posts something, and we go way, way back, so that will interest me, or if it's something that's currently kind of on my mind, you know, I'm very interested in the learning scientists and their six strategies. So if conversation comes up about that, I sort of quite often get involved. Sometimes it might be somebody posts something I just think is plain wrong. I feel obliged to kind of butt in, and like this happened to me last night. You know, that somebody posted that people remember 5% of what they're taught, and then it goes down to 95%. And I just thought, I can't let that go past my Twitter stream without commenting. So that then drew me into a conversation.
And how does that pan out? Do you feel that there is a place for healthy debate, but do you also feel that, as a couple of other people that I've spoken with have remarked, that it's getting a little bit beyond that, and there is a degree of unpleasantness? Is there a dark side to it as well? Not that I'm implying that you're involved in that kind of thing.
No, I definitely think that the thing with Twitter is that there is no one Twitter experience, is there? Because everybody follows different people and sees an entirely different world on Twitter when they log on. So all I can comment on is the world that I happen to see because of the 1,000 whatever people that I happen to follow. So within that world, which probably does share quite a lot of the people that are fairly common folk for people to follow in education, I think it has got, I'm just telling a story here, really, about how it seems to me things have gone since I signed up in 2006 and really got going in 2007. But the story, as it seems to me, is of when we first signed up and started talking, the kind of vibe was kind of, wow, this is amazing. I can talk to teachers from around the country and the world, people who are not in my school. And everybody seems really positive because it's people who bothered to sign up. So it was this fantastic, like, positive, optimistic staff room, unlike the staff room that a lot of people experienced back then. And so that was just kind of warm and fluffy and lovely. And that was great. and there were lots of very useful things shared, but it was, there was very little challenge, I think, of each other's ideas. It was just a general kind of, oh, that's great, that's great. So then there are certainly more challenge now. People are challenging each other's ideas much more. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it gets a bit sharp and you know, some people kind of maybe sort of pine for the good old days. But ultimately, I think it's a good thing that people are getting a bit more, a bit more willing to challenge each other's thinking. I think there's a, obviously there's, like, in my Twitter stream right now, this whole progressive versus traditional teaching thing seems to be coming up, and that seems to be stirring up some quite strong emotions. And it appears to me, it seems to rile the people on the progressive side of the argument, mainly because the people on the traditional side, that's kind of intransigent as it seems to them, you know, and so certain. I'm probably a bit of a bystander to that. And this is, it comes back to the thing about England, that it can seem superficially that, you know, here's a conversation that is not tied down particularly to the English experience, and therefore I can engage in it. But actually, that's not really true, because there's so much that is just taken for granted and unspoken about what English teachers experience that I consider shocking and horrendous, and would never can imagine working in those conditions. And so when things emerge that people see as being solutions, you know, we in Scotland have to remember that whole kind of, from my perspective, quite sort of unpleasant context that it's come out of. So, you know, you just have to be careful about that.
Indeed. One of the words you use there is quite interesting, and that's emotion. Is there an emotional side to participating on Twitter? Whatever sort of polarity that takes, do you think that's one of the reasons that people do become involved in, and in some cases may even choose to leave it?
Yeah, there must be. There must be. I mean, there's the kind of at its, well, it depends exactly what we mean by emotion, I suppose, but at its simplest, there's that kind of gratification that comes from posting something and it being retweeted or liked, and that's just like all social media. There's that kind of little bit of a buzz that people get from that kind of validation. So that, I guess, that's an emotional thing. Beyond that, I suppose from my perspective, definitely. Well, probably. You know, there are quite a few people that I communicate with on Twitter who I've met, and that, you know, that changes the relationship, definitely, as long as you have a positive meeting with the person. And so when I've considered applying for a principal teacher job in the first place, this isn't really answering your question, but I, again, and I'm kind of telling a story, but at the time I definitely said that I wouldn't have applied for the principal teacher job, wouldn't have done it if I hadn't been on Twitter, because of the kind of support and encouragement that I got. And I think that's true. I still think that's true. And when I was doing an acting deputy's job and wasn't successful in getting the permanent post, I shared that on Twitter, and you know, people's kind of commiserations and support and positive messages were really helpful. So, I think it definitely has a. If it were just a kind of a dry exchange of information with no emotional element to it, then I can't see that people would stick.
That makes a lot of sense. What do you think it is about Twitter particularly, is there anything structurally that make it the place that people seem to go? I'm not saying that teachers don't use Facebook. They clearly do, and some use other platforms. But it seems to be the one to which most teachers are attracted. Are there things about it that you've identified that make it the most popular platform?
Well, the truth is, I don't think I've ever really particularly thought about that. I could sit here and speculate very happily, but I don't think I've really given that any thought.
No.
I mean, obviously, the fact that it's only 140 characters, and the fact that teachers are always kind of time poor, I guess it's just kind of obvious reason why it suits us.
Sure. Cracking through my list of things, I wonder if you can speculate on this if you would. People talk about using Twitter for professional development, professional learning, CPD. You often see tweets with these kinds of things in. Do you think there are any other needs which it also satisfies that they might have? There may be other things that it also does for you personally.
Beyond what were the things you said beyond the list, and what was the list?
Special development, professional learning, CPD, those kind of things which are often used interchangeably, but largely mean the same thing.
Yeah. For me, it's definitely a sense of community. I think that it, sense of community, and it's a kind of funny old community that kind of shifts and changes and different people are there all the time, but somehow, yeah, and then some people that you see, that you speak to all the time, and some people you kind of knew and you start speaking to, you know, that, so some people like Robert McMillan, I've been communicating with him on Twitter for Lord knows how long, and if he posts something or says something, I'll often comment, and, you know, there's a kind of long-standing relationship there. And then there are some new people, like, can't remember first name, Weinstein or Steen, sorry if she ever listens to this, and I can't remember, Laura, who is one of the learning scientist people who I've kind of ended up... You know, we've got our paths have crossed on Twitter quite a lot in the last kind of wee while and haven't before, so it's always kind of shifting and changing, but but that sense of community, and that kind of went, I mean, that's something that I've been aware of since way, way back, that because it used to be the case, and this is the thing that kind of, I think is a shame for people who aren't involved in something like Twitter, is that it used to be the case for me that my educational world really was my classroom and the maths teachers around me in the corridor, and Times Educational Supplement, maybe, and the other teachers in the school, and maybe once a term I might meet with some teachers from somewhere else, and kind of that was my educational, you know, world. And since I started blogging and got onto Twitter, then my educational world was the English-speaking world. And that just so much richer. And it isn't, as I said, it isn't just about communication. It's also about that kind of feeling of community. And, I'd like it if more people were able to get engaged in that.
Excellent. In addition to a sense of community, and you mentioned earlier on, if I go back through my notes, I guess what I'm trying to get at are there ways that you can describe in which you've changed as an educator? Clearly you've progressed through on a particular career path, but are there things as a result of participating in Twitter and blogging, I guess, that you've changed? It could be a practice. Clearly, you've got a wider circle as part of this community. But are there other things that you might identify?
It's probably quite hard to just specify things that relate directly to Twitter, because when I started on Twitter, I was a classroom teacher, and so I've been through that whole kind of journey of finding out kind of about educational leadership, and then kind of thinking more broadly about education and thinking deeply about learning and teaching, and Twitter's just been one of the ways that I've learned. And I've also learned through doing quite a lot of reading, through in various courses with face-to-face things. It's difficult for me to kind of pick one thing that particularly Twitter has changed, but it's kind of informed everything along the way. It's hard to recall where things came from. You know, there are lots of things that Dylan Williams has said that have influenced how I think about learning and teaching. And I couldn't tell you which of those I've read in his books, which I've heard when I've seen him live, and which I've seen on Twitter. You know, it's all just all fits together.
Absolutely. So there's clearly an aspect there, as you said, your thinking has been influenced. Does that get translated into a change in practice, a change in the way that you relate with colleagues? Are there other things, other ways in which, the way that you conduct yourself as a teacher, as a deputy teacher?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that I need to be operating on the best information that I've got on at my fingertips at any particular moment. And so, to take a recent example, these six study strategies from the learning scientists, which actually tie in completely with the strategies that are in the Making It Stick book, coming from cognitive psychology, I think I've got that right. And so, you know, referring back to what we said before, we were saying before about having to be careful about the quality of the information, I'm convinced that this is good, robust information about effective study strategies. And so I kind of feel duty bound that I share that. So in senior assemblies, that's what I've been talking to them about. I've been talking to them about retrieval practice. I've been talking to them about spaced practice, interleaving. And if I hadn't been on Twitter, then I wouldn't have come across, I mean, I've heard of interleaved practice, but I wouldn't have come across this whole really nicely presented kind of good-looking graphical stuff that they've got, and in a form that's really easy to share with students. I wouldn't have come across it, so that wouldn't have been transferred to my students.
It's interesting that you remark on the path from Twitter through you to the students. Do you get a sense that although they're not aware of the source of that information, that they have made changes? So is the path in a sense complete, because ultimately that's what we're trying to do? Are they changing, not just you and your thought, but the students themselves?
Yeah, I think so. I was in, I was walking through the canteen, and our poor sixth years don't have a sixth year common room, which they always complain about. So there were some of them sitting in the canteen, and they were they'd made up flashcards and were quizzing each other with flashcards, and so I walked past them and I said, "Oh, fantastic! A bit of retrieval practice in action." And they kind of smiled and nodded at me. So whether or not it was directly because of my assemblies, I don't know, but they at least recognized that the activity they were doing did tie in with what I've been talking to them about effective study strategies.
Sure. Okay, we're getting very close to the end, and I'll not take up too much more of your time. A final question that I'm hoping to ask everyone is, what would you do if Twitter went away? Because it's a distinct likelihood. Where would you go from there?
That's a good question. That worries me. When you say it's a distinct likelihood that it goes away, that kind of is a bit of a worrying thing. Because I always say to just focus school, you know, and they, I think people generally have an impression that I'm very kind of in touch and on the ball and current with my thinking, and well, that's what they say to me. And so, and I always tell them, you know, this is just, it's Twitter. There's nothing special. It's just I'm on Twitter and I've got developed a big professional learning network, so I've got this massive kind of machine at my disposal to produce relevant information for me. So if it went away, I'd be gutted. I don't know.
I get a sense that you're intimating that you need something. You need some mechanism through which to enjoy all those benefits. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I mean, thinking about Twitter not being there, which is not a particularly pleasant thought, I think I would just feel quite isolated. I mean, and I've got great relationships with my colleagues at school, and they're fantastic and talk about lots of stuff, particularly in the senior management team. But I would, relatively speaking, I would just feel very isolated.
Sufficiently isolated to look for an alternative, because I guess you clearly wouldn't be alone. The whole community, as you use that word, would be looking for somewhere else. So, just migrate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suspect that's where I think we'd all be okay, because I think, you know, there's amongst all of the people that I'm connected with on Twitter, as I said, there's this kind of core of people, Scottish educators, who I've met, I've socialised with quite a few of them, and so we have a kind of a deeper relationship, and, you know, collectively we would, I'm sure, somehow or other, and most of us blog, so collectively we'd dust off our RSS feed aggregators, get them going again, and well, you know, like, we'd probably all start going to Google Plus and then take it from there.
Sure. That's wonderful. Thank you very much indeed for that. Are there any observations that you've got that my questions haven't given you the opportunity to talk about? Is there anything that, any other pearls of wisdom that you want to share?
Well, I suppose the other thing, this is kind of relevant because it was being discussed on Twitter last night. One of the things that's changed over time is that Twitter is much less egalitarian than it used to be. That we have Tom Bennett and David Didow and Andrew Old and this kind of small collection of English educational tweeters who are followed by vast numbers of people, so have huge reach and are therefore highly influential. And that I've kind of come and gone on them, that I've unfollowed them, gone for quite a long time just trying to ignore them because I just felt I didn't like that kind of slightly superstar thing that was going on there. And then I've kind of come back to them as I thought, you know what, actually these guys have got some really interesting things to say and I shouldn't be missing this. I think there's, you know, if Twitter does survive, there are interesting times ahead, because the something that concerns me a bit is that these guys who've done an awful lot to boost the use of Twitter and make it a more valuable place. Fair to them, I'm not knocking them, but I don't really detect much. They all seem to be a little bit core. And a dismissive of any discussions about the responsibilities that come with that power, you know, because I think they seem to wish to continue to imagine that Twitter's an entirely kind of egalitarian, flat thing. And it just isn't. if one person tweets and their tweet's seen by 50,000 people, and somebody else tweets and it's seen by 3 people, that's this difference that it's fair for people to kind of explore.
That power differential is not something that. It's certainly something I've come across in my own personal use. It's not something that people have mentioned before, so I'm interested to hear more about that, and it's certainly worth exploring more. What do you think, if anything, is the outcome of that imbalance? Do you think that... You mentioned that these people are more influential. Do you think that things happen as a result of what they're doing that don't happen as a result of quieter people like myself?
I think that they steer the kind of tone of the conversation and the kind of the direction of it. That when I spent quite a lot of time actively avoiding Andrew Old. Sorry, Andrew, if you're listening, and just because he's so kind of sure of himself and quite kind of curt, and there's not a lot of warm fuzzies with Andrew, but obviously he's very kind of, as he would say himself, a traditional teacher, but believes in traditional approaches, the emphasis on knowledge rather than soft kind of skill stuff, and he has, you know, I have no idea of whether or not what I see on Twitter from English teachers actually transfers to something real on the ground beyond Michaela School, but it seems like they are influencing the kind of direction, which I think is, you know, part of why people who have different opinions about education are getting quite kind of vexed about it.
And I guess that influence is extending beyond the Twitter sphere itself. So the influence they have is reaching into other places. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what Tom Bennett's history is really. I can't quite recall. But obviously he became very influential on Twitter, and then he was writing in the Times Ed, I think, and then he's. Became like their behaviour czar or whatever they call it down in your neck of the woods, and I'm not quite sure whether I can't remember whether Twitter had any, whether his big kind of profile on Twitter had any influence on him getting that job. I don't know. Might have done.
Interesting to speculate. Never a dull moment either. Okay, I'm really pleased that you brought that up. I think that's an important factor that I need to look at a little bit more closely with the people that I talk to in the future. So thanks for that. Anything else that you want to add?
No, I don't think so. It's been fun chatting about Twitter.
Excellent. I'm going to say thank you once more for the benefit of our listeners, and I'm going to press the stop button. And then
I'd like to close by repeating my thanks to Robert for being so generous, and to thank him for his observations, and repeat my invitation to any listeners who might be keen to be involved in the project. Just catch me on Twitter or the CPD in 140 blog.